Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello!
Hello!
It's been hot, hasn't it?
Oh, isn't it?
Not putting any kind of judgment on that?
Well, it's a change.
Possibly in the past I might have said, oh, it's too hot.
Always.
But no, that's the old me.
Oh, interesting.
Doesn't moan about how hot it's been. What?
You couldn't help yourself.
That could have just been an unrelated noise.
Why have you decided to become the new you that doesn't complain about the heat?
Just because it's been such a long, cold.
Long, cold winter.
Lonely winter.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought I'm not going to moan about it when it's too hot and I'm hiding away, skulking in the shade.
You don't feel we could have done with a little bit of a warm-up to this, like... Winter to summer. I could have done with the spring.
Yes.
I'm not complaining either.
No, me either. My mum, it started raining the other day and she went outside and stood in it.
Oh, God.
I think it's got as high as 23 where they are, it's understandable. So here we are. I went to Legoland.
Nice. Yes. Legoland Windsor.
Yeah, it's on the green list, Legoland. You don't have to quarantine.
Oh, nice.
No PCR tests or anything. Let me tell you about something terrible that happened to me today.
Go on.
I wish I hadn't just mentioned Legoland there. It sounded like I was about to tell you some stuff about Legoland.
Yeah, yeah. And then you didn't.
And actually, we just had a nice time and it was fine. And I got very, very scared on one of the rides.
Are there a ride there? What, made of Lego?
No. Did you think it was just like little model villages?
Yes.
Because that's an element of it, but also it's a theme park.
Oh.
It's a theme park aimed at kids anything from 2 or 3 to about 10 or 11, I think.
Yeah, I just thought, it was a model village. Okay.
No. But there was one, it was a Ferris wheel for babies.
Hmm.
And I got a bit nervous on it.
Did you?
Just the heights. I don't do well with a cable car.
Oh.
It's that same sensation.
Yeah.
You see, I feel like I allowed myself to be goaded into talking about Legoland. I said I had nothing to say about it. I just wanted to make that dumb joke about it being on the green list.
Yeah.
And now I ended up telling you a really boring story that went nowhere, had no arc.
My fault.
Getting scared on a babyish ride. I love babyish as an adjective, though.
Yeah, I use it a lot.
It's great. Let me tell you about something terrible that happened to me today.
Okay.
I was going to a local supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you which one it was if you like.
Go on.
Whole Foods.
Okay.
To just do a little shop.
Mm-hmm.
As I was going in, a homeless gentleman outside asked me for some change.
Mm-hmm.
I rarely carry cash and today was no exception. So I said to him, I don't have any money on me, but is there something I can buy for you? He says, yeah, I'd really like an orange juice, please. I said, no problem, I'll get you an orange juice. I go in, I get an orange juice, continue doing my shop. I'm thinking, could I get him something else as well then?
Mm.
And as I'm thinking this, I pass refrigerated desserts and there is a slice of what looks to me like a delicious dark chocolate cake.
Mm.
I think I'm going to get him that. What a lovely treat. Go around, finish my shop, get in the queue. I can see him through the door. So he's literally on the pavement outside the shop.
Yeah.
So you can see him from where the tills are. So I give him a little wave. I say, 1 minute. It'll be 1 minute. Get to the cashier. And he's super friendly. He's putting things in the bag. As he gets the chocolate cake, he says, oh, have you had this before? I say, I haven't. With hindsight, what I should have said is, no, and actually I'm buying it for that guy there.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't.
Mm.
That was my mistake. He says, have you had it before? I said, I haven't. He said, it is delicious. I said, oh, great. Oh, I'm looking forward to that then.
Right, of course, yeah.
And then he says, let me tell you, don't heat it up. Have it cold. It's really nice, straight out of the fridge.
Right.
So I said, I will. I'll take that advice. That's good advice.
Yeah.
You can tell what happened next, can't you? I then can't give it to this homeless man.
Because you don't want the cashier to see.
Because I don't want the cashier to think, why didn't we just have this conversation about how he was going to eat it straight out of the fridge and how excited he was to eat it?
Well, worse still, I must have overhyped it. Now he's just giving it away because he can't bear the pressure. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like he really recommended it very strongly. So I ended up just giving the orange juice to the homeless guy and then eating the chocolate cake for myself.
Sounds like a bit of an excuse.
It was very good.
Well, I bet.
What would you have done in that situation?
I would have just given it to the... He'd just given it to him. He wouldn't have seen, would he?
Yeah, it was totally in his eye line. If he'd have glanced in that direction, it would have seemed. But why am I more worried about the cashier perceiving me not taking his recommendation seriously than I am about like genuinely helping somebody who probably hasn't had a good meal? And then I was thinking, it's probably not good for this guy's teeth anyway.
Is he going to be able to brush them?
Yeah. You know, if anything, I'd be causing him a problem by giving him this cake. Yeah. Now, we're going to hear from drifters.
We are.
Would it be fair to say that the trickle has slowed to a drip of stories of social awkwardness?
I wonder if it's because it was half term here in the UK last week, but like it was very quiet this week. I don't know what's going on. I feel shunned. But anyway, I've got stuff. Don't worry, it's not going to be an empty segment.
But I'm sort of thinking, here's what doesn't make sense to me. The lockdown and social distancing measures have been easing, so people should have been out, like me with that thing that just happened to me.
Yes.
People should have been having more awkward conversations and social interactions, and yet maybe an unexpected side effect of this pandemic is maybe it has cured some people of their social awkwardness.
No.
In as much as just being out there is feeling good to people and they're not constantly self-examining.
I think yeah, it feels unlikely, but yeah.
Well.
Anyway, as I say, there is stuff, but you know, I don't like to have such an empty cupboard.
No.
I like it to be stocked up.
Yes.
For emergencies.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
It's difficult, isn't it? Because there's a line to be struck between sounding like you're begging.
Mm.
Which we are to some extent, right? Mm-hmm. And just sounding like you're grateful for what we have.
Yeah, it's tricky.
But what you're saying is it wouldn't hurt if the listeners pulled their weight a little bit.
I'm not saying that, but you are.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
First one's from Joseph. I will warn anyone with small children around, this does contain some slightly adult content, slightly.
So... And is it something that only a broad-minded adult would enjoy?
I don't know, really. I've lost all like track of like what people think and don't think. I don't know.
You should spend more time on Twitter.
Yeah, we probably should. Okay, so it's from Joseph, and he starts by giving us a little bit of background about his relationship with us, which I enjoyed. He says, I had regularly listened to your show on Absolute and Adrift right up until I moved away from the UK in 2019. I recently started listening again from the beginning, and after hearing a couple of stories sent in by my mum, I plucked up the courage to send in one of my own. Since moving to America, Buffalo, New York, or Buffaloni, as my wife and I call it, my small talk game has improved tenfold. Being English, I'm something of an oddity.
Yes.
Small talk often revolves around where I'm from, people asking me if I know their friend in London, and how many words have different meanings in different places.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd not long started working for a small family-owned company, and I became an instant hit with other staff and customers because I sound funny. One morning, I arrived early, just a few minutes before our accountant, let's call her Anne. Anne likes to talk a lot, and on this day, she wanted to talk about hobbies. She told me she used to work in the brewery industry and thoroughly enjoyed going to bars after work with her customers. She had a good relationship with many of her male customers and would have a few drinks with them before showing them her growler. Then she would ask them to fill up her growler. She told me she loves getting her growler out most evenings. She brings it everywhere with her. Sometimes she even asks customers to fill her up real quick in their office.
It's very My Ding-a-ling, this, isn't it?
Very much so. Now, as she's telling me these things, I am sure I'm blushing. I knew Americans could be pretty blunt, but I was not prepared for this. Surely this is not an office-appropriate topic of conversation, especially not to a younger, new employee. As all of this is rushing through my head, she pauses. Are you okay? What? Yes, I'm fine. It sounds like you got on really well with these people. I've never had a friendship like that with my customers back home. We both head off to our desks, and I'm feeling awkward and embarrassed. Another colleague comes over some hours later, asks me how I've been getting on. Still not able to shake the thought of Anne's growler, I confide in him. He tells me, there's nothing wrong with that. It's a perfectly normal thing to do here. I mean, of course it is. How prudish of me. He then asked why I thought it was a weird topic of conversation. I explained to him that I just had never had a conversation with someone I considered to be a stranger about their lady parts before. He made a connection and burst into laughter. No, Joe, a growler is a mug you bring to the bar. It's almost a year on and I still cringe with embarrassment. I didn't know that. Did you know that?
I didn't. Oh. I mean, as I was listening to the story, I'm thinking... growler has to have another meaning.
Oh, well, yeah. I was that far along, but not enough to know what it actually meant in that country.
I had no idea.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, let's move on, shall we?
Yes.
Okay, to Jacqueline.
I wonder what they think of British people, that we would refer to that as a growler.
That's the thing that's really, really got me. I wasn't going to mention it, but really, I mean...
It doesn't reflect well on us,
does it?
It
reflects so poorly on us, so poorly. Okay, from Jacqueline. About 10 years ago, I lived in Montreal and regularly took the metro to get around. One Saturday, my usual train was very crowded, and although I had managed to sit down, most people who boarded after me were forced to stand. At one stop, I saw a man board via the doors nearest to me. He had a small child with him, no more than 3 years old, and a number of bags as well. Luckily for him, a seat had just become available, a window seat, boxed in by another passenger to the left, and me sat in a sideways facing seat in front of the empty one. The man sat the child in this empty seat and, with a few words of encouragement, went and stood with his bags a few feet away. Now, the man was clearly fit and well in the prime of life, but I felt bad for the little child, sitting all alone, surrounded by strange adults in big wool coats. So I decided I would offer my seat to this man, the child's father, I presume, so that they could be together. I began to rise to my feet while casting my gaze in the father's direction, setting a pleasant expression upon my face in preparation for the generous offer I was about to make. Fun fact. The Montreal Metro runs entirely on rubber wheels and was the first underground system in the world to do so. I mention this because I don't think a rail-bound train, such as there are in the London Underground, would be able to stop with the suddenness and violence that this rubber wheel train then did. The driver must have slammed on the brakes with all she had. To this day, I imagine there must have been a person down there in the tunnels or a large dog or something. I can't imagine stopping with such ferocity for any other reason and have never since experienced a jolt like that on any other means of public transportation. The sudden halt caught me mid-rise, just as I made eye contact with the child's father and uttered the words, "Would you..." I was unable to finish as the momentum hurled me to the floor and onto the foot of the youth who was standing next to me. Now, I was also fit and well in the prime of my life. I like to think I still am. But God only knows what 10 stone feel like when they land on your foot like that. I wasn't able to really process what had happened, but I grasped the seat and pulled myself partially upright, apologising to the youth I'd landed on while looking back to the man I'd been offering my seat to, red-faced, hair mussed. He icily refused my request. I had to sit for several more stops there next to all of them and heard the youth complaining to his friend that I'd really hurt his foot. I'm quite sure the man would have taken my seat if the offer hadn't turned out to be so embarrassing that he had to disassociate himself from me at all costs. I still hate him.
That was good.
Yeah, enjoyed that.
Well, there we go. You had those in your cupboard.
Yep.
Let's see if you can't get you stocked up with more, though.
Yes, please.
We don't want an old Mother Hubbard situation, do we?
Nope.
So please send us your story of some terrible social faux pas. It is hello@adriftpodcast.com. Annabelle.
Yes.
I am ready for another way in which you are not a fully functioning adult.
Big news. I've started hugging again.
Oh, no, she didn't hug me.
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah. I should have written it down and held it up to you. I won't initiate a hug, but
right,
if someone goes in for one, I'll let it happen rather than recoil like I did with your mother-in-law, Lynn Barron.
Yes, yes.
Sorry about that, Lynn Barron.
No, I did, you were right.
I had a cold though, and so I was very conscious about not passing that on.
That's by the by. It was the salient point was you were saving your first hug for your parents, which I thought was fine.
Yeah, but I haven't.
You don't need to make yourself. Oh, you haven't.
No, I haven't.
Oh,
but guess what?
What?
I've hugged 23 people since I last saw you.
Oh, I think you've gone a bit far, actually.
Are you worried I've been to a cuddle party?
I'd forgotten about cuddle parties.
I know. Do you think they've been disproportionately affected by COVID?
I think they've been disproportionately affected by it not being 2006 anymore.
Oh, they still exist, though.
Really?
Yeah, I looked them up. But you never hear them mentioned in the same sentence as government bailout, though, do you? Like, let's spare a thought for the cuddle party organisers. No, it's because I've been doing some pre-third wave socialising on my mini break last week.
Mm. Can I just say, when you say cuddle party, it's not a euphemism. It's not like a growler situation.
Oh, here. Maybe I should point out, doesn't everyone know what a cuddle party
no,
is?
No, I think they were something
quite
that
niche.
We became very interested in. Did you go to one?
No.
But
my
I was.
Did,
yeah. Oh, right. Yeah.
So it's something where it's a range for people to go in a safe environment, and I think you wear pyjamas?
Yeah.
You wear pyjamas and there's a lot of hugging going on. But it's all very, like, consensual and non-erotic.
All I'm saying is, and I have said this before, when I don't feel like we're covering old ground here, but on the off chance somebody wasn't listening to the few shows that we talked about this in the mid-noughties.
Right, yeah.
Sure. There are people, perhaps, who've organised these parties who are doing it in a very pure, unerotic way. I think there are some attendees.
Right.
Who are going along, maybe becoming aroused.
I think that's not something a ban.
You can't control that kind of thing.
Well, then
you can if you've got a cold spoon. I think that's what they do in boarding schools, isn't it? You have a matron.
Yeah, spoon in the fridge.
Let's bring that here.
At it comes.
Whack.
Tap,
yeah.
Tap,
yeah. Tap, tap. You know, we did the... We did the secret waiter. We should do the secret matron at a boarding school.
Please.
And see if that is true.
Please.
If you do keep a cold spoon ready at all times,
please,
in the event of an unwanted.
If you're a boarding school matron listening, I beg of you to get in contact. Beg of you.
Yeah.
Anyway, where were we?
I was just saying that some people would have heard, oh, cuddle party.
Right.
I'm a devious fellow.
No.
These people might be getting one thing out of it, but I'm going to get quite another. Or if you want to be really dark, the people organising it, they had ulterior motives.
Right. I think it's just people longing for human contact.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Right, okay, same thing. Okay. Back to me.
Yes.
So I've been doing a bit of
23 people.
23 people. Yeah. I've been doing a bit of socialising.
What, with two football teams and a referee?
No. I found my socialising fine, really. Because, and I think the reason is because it was all daytime and early evening socialising. So I was always with my three-year-old child. So whenever things got too much, I went off to check on him, which I think is the best thing about having a child. You can abandon a conversation, like mid-conversation, in the pretense your child is about to do something perilous. Oh, sorry, back in a sec. You can also leave everywhere early, you know, just say that they're waking up so early. Yeah. Like 4:30 it was this morning.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. So small talk, I found absolutely fine because I followed Sarah's advice.
I've forgotten what her advice was.
You talk about the vaccine.
Oh, right, yeah. Did you meet any Moderna people?
I didn't meet any Moderna.
Chris Marr. Yeah. This is my best friend from Manchester. Yeah. Moderna guy.
Is he?
Yeah. Don't you think that's the most indie of all the...
It is, because it's the most rare. Yeah. It's definitely the most rare. What I do as well is I try and bond with the people who had the AZ too, like football fans bond when they find someone who supports the same team. And it also has the benefit of finding out someone's age. As if they've had the AZ, they're often over 40 now, aren't they?
Yeah, that's why I had the Pfizer, because they were worried about blood clotting with a young person.
Right.
They said we can tell you're young in spirit.
Yeah, I'm sure. And what I also, when I ask, I also do a little joke where I ask tentatively if they've had the vaccine, like they've probably not had it yet because they look too young. So I'm charming them with flattery, even if they look like they had the Pfizer last December.
Yeah.
But what I'm really doing is finding out if they're anti-vax so I can agree with them. I hate confrontations. Can't bear it.
Have you come across an anti-vaxxer?
No, not face to face. No. I haven't said to someone, have you had the vaccine? And they've gone, no, I don't believe in it. No, I have not.
I mean, I would be that coward who's like, all right.
That's so interesting.
It's the same time thinking you're a terrible person.
Well, I don't agree because I had it. But anyway, I had planned to just stop with the hugging, but I went to a barbecue. And as soon as I arrived, I was hugged by someone and it was in front of 20 people, roughly, approximately. So if I'd spurned it, it would have been like turning down a proposal at the halftime of an American football game or something like that. You know, that's what it would have felt like. And you know what? It broke the ice for me. And it is interesting how much ice had built up since the start of COVID. And there was a lot of it there, but it did break it for me. Because if you think about it, hugging is strange. I get doing it for comfort. There are biological reasons for that. I don't know what they are. I'm sure I read it once. And some animals do it too. But doing it to say hello, like pressing our bodies up against someone and putting our arms around them.
Yes.
Holding each other for a few seconds when greeting. Like, I'd say that I like my lips mug more than a lot of the people that I hugged last week. But did I come over my mini break and hug lips? Of course I didn't. Didn't even occur to me. The only good thing, as far as I can see, about hugging, and it's the reason that I do it, is that you don't have to look at each other for a bit. There's no eye contact.
And that, for me,
is like a moment of relief. Yeah. Like not having to look in people's eyes.
Yeah.
And that's why I've decided to go back to doing it again. I'm not going to hug you now. Is that what you're about to ask?
I'm going
to
hug you on your way out.
Oh, God.
What?
I'm only joking.
I also like the way you sneaked a bit of mug chat into that.
I couldn't help myself.
And I feel slightly bad for saying about you're a terrible person. I think it is possible to have legitimate concerns and fears if you're an anxious person about a vaccine. I think if you think it's a big conspiracy, you're a terrible person.
Well, I like to respect everyone's opinion.
Why though? Some opinions are moronic. Some opinions are moronic. That's okay. So an informed opinion carries less weight than an opinion pieced together by bad information distributed by idiots.
Yeah.
So I think that's okay.
Okay.
But I do think it is okay for people to have legitimate concerns around their anxiety.
Yeah, of course.
Just not the nutty stuff about Bill Gates controlling you.
Do you want to hug it out?
Oh, I'd love Bill Gates to control me. Just love not to have that responsibility myself. Why won't Bill Gates control me?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
First thing I was going to do is recommend something. This won't be for everyone.
Okay.
Are you aware of Bo Burnham?
Bo Burnham, I do know that name.
Did you watch that
film guy?
He made that film Eighth Grade, which
I loved.
Yeah. Which we talked about in the podcast before.
Yeah, brilliant.
He's also a stand-up comedian. He was also the male lead in that film that you really loved with Kerry Mulligan.
Oh. Pretty Young.
Yes.
I love that. Yeah.
Promising Young Woman.
Promising Young Woman. That's it. Yeah.
Yes.
I loved it so much. I remember the name of it. No, I did love that film.
So that's the guy. And he made his name, I think, as a stand-up comedian / internet video uploader. And then he stepped away from stand-up maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And he's made a special, which is on Netflix, which he has done in isolation in his own house.
Oh.
And I think it is quite brilliant. I think if you were to watch it and expect to laugh in the way you would at stand-up comedy, you will be disappointed. But if you want something which is full of brilliant observations about modern life in places and performed magnificently, but actually, I don't want to say too much about it, because I think you should, if you decide you want to watch it, you should let it disarm you. But actually, it is about anxiety and mental health and the effect that this pandemic and the way it's altered our lives has had on us, especially if you're a person who's been put in a position where you've had to spend a lot of time on your own.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It is a great piece of art.
Oh, brilliant. Okay.
So I think it is the brilliant work of a great comic mind. It's not recognisably comedy, but it is fantastic art about those subjects.
Okay, that sounds brilliant. Thank you.
So I'm going to recommend that to people.
What is it? What's the name of it?
It's called Inside. So if you just go on Netflix and look for Bo Burnham, Inside, it is extraordinary. But I think some people will watch it and think, I don't get it at all. I don't like this. Mm. Sarah watched it, thought it was quite brilliant, but also thought it was too long and fell asleep halfway through. And by the end, even though she thought it was brilliant, was thinking, I'm ready for this to finish now. I just found it so compelling. I couldn't stop looking at it.
Okay.
But it's like nothing you've ever seen. So it's sort of difficult to describe because there's no context for it. So there's that. Then, I was going to tell you I was going to ask you something.
Yep.
In your common law marriage,
mm-hmm.
if your lover Tom boyfriend. Does something that, and why are you happier with boyfriend?
Because it's better than lover.
But it's terrible.
What's wrong with boyfriend?
We all know what's wrong with boyfriend.
It's nothing wrong with boyfriend.
It's babyish.
It's a babyish.
Annabelle.
It's babyish. What am I supposed to say?
Well, lover.
Partner. I think I do agree that boyfriend sounds too temporary, but partner sounds too permanent, and lover sounds extremely temporary.
No, a lover is what a French person would call their...
Even though it's an affair. I'm not having an affair with him. Far, 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 far from it.
I don't want to talk about this too much because my wife has a bit of stand-up about the word boyfriend, and it'll sound like I'm just sort of quoting her. But she's far from the first person to have said it, but it's a real girlfriend, boyfriend. These aren't...
What, honestly, what else am I supposed to say?
In Sweden, they have a great word.
There is a word missing here, but
yes,
carry
there
on.
Is a missing.
That's my problem.
Yeah, it doesn't sound great in English, but they have the word sambo, which means your live-in partner.
That's perfect. That's what.
But
I need.
We need that word, but maybe not that word.
Mm-mm.
I think, perhaps there's historical connotations, which is unrelated in that language. It just sounds weird in English. Anyway, where was I up to? So if there is an issue with you and this guy about something that goes on in your house, how easy is it for you to bring it up? Let's just say, it was leaving the toilet seat up for because it's an easy one that we've all heard about before.
It doesn't matter how I bring it up, it'll go down badly. So sometimes I try really hard to try and avoid the bad bit and I put loads of effort into it, goes badly. Sometimes I think I'm just going to blurt it out in the middle of something, goes badly. It's a lose-lose situation.
Same okay. here. Okay. And I'm sure for Tom it's the same if he's got something he needs to address with
I'm great about that kind of thing. Take criticism very well.
So for a long time, Sarah and I have attempted to get into this stuff, which, you know, it's landmine territory. It always goes poorly by prefacing it by saying peace and love. I think I've found the solution, but you just need Rudy to be a bit older.
Oh, please tell me.
So I've noticed we've started doing this.
Okay.
So, for example, this morning I addressed the group, Jean and Sarah. Guys.
Yeah.
I've had an idea. Yeah. Why don't we start keeping the hairbrushes in a different drawer to the toothbrushes so that we're not picking hair out of the toothbrush every time we need to brush our teeth?
Okay.
Jean isn't using a hairbrush.
Right.
He's not putting a hairbrush anywhere.
Right.
But by addressing the group with him present, I am able to get these gripes out.
And she doesn't feel victimised. She feels like it's a family suggestion.
Well, she probably does, but she's not going to. She's not going to get into it with him present.
I'm going to try this and get back to you next week.
Yeah,
can't wait to try it.
Yeah. So there's my piece of advice. Mm. The other one, and you'll be thrilled to hear after that Legoland story at the top of the podcast. This doesn't really go anywhere either. But I just want to tell you about like the world's worst taxi driver.
Oh, please, come on.
I had to take my son to the opticians the other day. There wasn't a fast public transport option, so we took a taxi. He has been at a holiday club all day, so he's got a lot to say to me. My son, this is. Mm. We get in the taxi and off we go. The driver presses his intercom button. You know, the little light comes on, so you know that he's listening and ready to talk. He says, what are you going to such and such an address for? I said, we're going for an optician's appointment. He says, that's a funny place to be going to an optician's appointment. Do you work round there? I said, no, I don't. It's just where I don't get into it.
Right.
He goes, so what work do you do then? It's just the worst question.
Yeah.
I think... If you were, I don't know. I wonder if it, I always think it's a bad question because of our specific job.
Mm-mm.
But maybe it's just a bad question because people have always got follow-ups.
And no one really wants to talk about their work, yeah. Do they? No one. Surely no one wants to talk about their job.
Yeah. But anyway, I mean, I'm acutely aware of it in our job because...
It doesn't feel like a real one.
Yeah. And people have their idea about what it is.
Yeah.
That's the radio. And then as... soon as you kind of throw podcasts into the mix, then people have kind of got no idea what it is, or they've got too many questions about that as well. So he says, so what do you do then? And my answer is invariably, kind of radio, podcasts, that kind of thing. And then Gene starts talking to me, so I just answer him, and then the driver butts in again. So what sort of radio then? What do you do then? So, kind of pop up here and there as a wimpy. What do you mean by that then?
Oh, no, it's terrible.
I'm a radio host, but I, do bits and pieces. So what do you mean bits and pieces then? I mean, don't you want a full-time job? So, I'm kind of fine, really. I did that. And he went, what do you mean you did that? I worked in radio, I had a regular show for a long time and... I just got to a point where it was just a bit too much for me. I'd done it long enough and I wanted to make some changes. Well, why would you do that though? I mean, isn't it good? Don't you worry that your career will never, don't you worry it'll just dry up and you won't be able to earn money? I'm thinking, yes. I mean, I worry that constantly. It's like you're saying me in a monologue out loud to me, but I'm not going to tell you that. Yeah. Oh, not really. Why not though? I mean, what makes you think you'll carry on working?
Oh my God, this is horrendous.
I said, I've done all right, been able to keep going. Okay, so what's your name then? I say, it's Jeff. He went, I don't know you, do I? I said, I don't think so. I don't expect you to. And I said, the radio station we used to work at. He went, I don't like listening to that because the music gets me too agitated in traffic. It's like, all right, yeah. says, I'll tell you who I do listen to. And then he names somebody I used to work with that I don't particularly think very highly of. I said, oh, right, yeah, yeah. Because I'm not going to say, not go off of my opinion. Mm. He starts telling me why this particular person is the bee's knees. I'm like, oh, right. He said, you ever met him? I said, oh, yeah, yeah. I used to work with him a bit a few years ago. He said, what's he like? I said, oh, I never really knew him. Which is a lie, I didn't know. I mean, he's kind of like an awful person. And then he, starts naming it. So why don't you listen to such and such person? I said, I don't really listen to the radio. I'm a big radio listener. And all the time, Gene is asking me questions, and it's annoying him that he's not getting this time with his dad,
right?
Because he wants to talk to me. Because we talk a lot. And then this guy goes quiet. I think thank God for that. So Gene and I talk, and then he comes back on the intercom. He goes, "Won a lot of awards, haven't you?"
What?
So in the time he's been quiet, he's Googled me.
No.
I said, yeah, a few. So that must be a funny position, though, you know, to have won that and now people forget about you. And you just think, yeah, I know it is, but I'm not going to tell him that. And then he says, then he laughs to himself. And I don't say, oh, what are you laughing at? You know, when somebody laughs and they want you to ask.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's this pause. And then he goes, always makes me laugh. And I don't say, oh, what's that?
Yeah,
I just leave it hanging there. He goes, always makes me laugh when you see pictures of people on the internet and they look much younger than they do now.
What?
And they
Why
use
that
these pictures of themselves looking young.
Why does that make him laugh?
It doesn't. It's just like, it's just a way of telling me that I'm aging horribly.
Yes.
I didn't put a picture of myself on the internet. And there are just pictures of me on the internet.
And also, like, you're trying to deceive people, like on a dating profile. Yeah. It's not like that.
I know.
Oh, dear. He
so still
awful.
Gave him a tip.
Of course you did.
What's wrong with me?
Oh.
So, like I say, it doesn't really go anywhere as a story, but it's not just like the worst, most exhausting story.
But nice to hear your inner monologue spoken that loud by a stranger.
Yeah. All your kind of fears about your own career and ability to earn a living vocalised.
Yeah.
And what was particularly bad about it as well was it was the... I always try and tell myself to calm myself down. It's like, Jeff, you're being irrational. But if that is the first thing he's thinking, it suggests to me, no, you're being completely rational. And you're kidding yourself not to worry about those things. Quandary Corner at the Glatt Clinic here in Problematic. Annabelle.
Yes, first one is from Julia. We live in a ground floor flat with one set of neighbours above us, a couple with a small child. They are perfectly tolerable and we have very little interaction, which I think suits us all. They have always been reasonably quiet until they recently swapped from carpet to wooden floors. And now it's like they've adopted a herd of small elephants, such as the noise of the stumping. I had no idea that a toddler could pound so hard into a floor. And like most toddlers, he is always running around, often very early in the morning. It's getting to the stage where I feel I must say something as I can't take the banging anymore. But how on earth do I do this? And before you say it, we don't particularly want to resort to moving house.
There's nothing to be done.
Well, just tolerate it.
You can't tell somebody they shouldn't have wooden floors, and you can't tell a toddler how to walk.
You just have to live with it.
Well, what do you think?
They could invent a fake competition in which the neighbours above win
some slippers,
a hallway runner, which would soften the sounds.
That's good.
It's all right.
It's not bad.
I mean, it's tricky logistically.
You'd also have to buy them a runner.
Yes, you would have to buy it for them. And you would have to invent a competition that they would have entered but then forgotten about. Just like, yeah, buy the runner, get it sent to them with a note inside saying, congratulations, you've won this runner in the competition you entered.
Couldn't
and hope
just,
it's to
couldn't
their
you
taste.
Say there was a draw of everybody in England? Are they in England?
I think that'd be something publicised, wouldn't it? It'd be on the news, wouldn't it? The winner of this year's draw for the hallway runner is... Yeah.
I don't know.
So it's either do that or live with it or buy them slippers. You can't, you're saying you can't. I was in the queue at preschool recently and I witnessed something, what I found to be stunning. There were two parents ahead of me. One parent turned around to the other and it quickly emerged they were neighbours, one upstairs, one downstairs. The downstairs were, or either side by side, not sure. But anyway, one of them complained to the noise about the other.
Hang on, complained to whom?
Complained to the person behind them, who was obviously a neighbour, about the noise, since they were playing their music too loudly. But they did it in such a way that it wasn't a really massive issue. And they seamlessly went from that just into chatting about a fox in the neighbourhood.
Wow. No, I mean, I can't. I mean, you could say, so I'm just thinking now, like the only thing I can imagine is a passive aggressive comment like, oh, you guys were up early this morning, or you guys were up early again this morning. But I think you can't tell somebody they shouldn't have carpet.
No.
And you can't tell somebody how their kids should walk around.
You can have this thing done. Remember, I once looked at a house when I was looking to buy a house, and it had quite low ceilings, which I mentioned. And he said that he'd had them reinforced because the lady upstairs was particularly stompy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You could like sellotape egg boxes to your ceiling. That's fine.
There we go. Cheaper.
Yeah, but there's nothing. I don't think there's anything you can do.
Okay. So it's either the hallway runner competition win or egg boxes. And
like my wife is just very heavy of foot, for example. You never watched The Sopranos, did you?
No.
I think Tony at some point had some kind of mistress who was kind of one-legged and would drag the one legger along a bit. And Sarah kind of walks like that. She's very stompy.
Right.
And it wouldn't be pleasant to live underneath that. I don't like it when I can hear her moving around the house, to be honest. But it's just, I live with it because that's how she walks.
Yeah.
You can't criticise someone's gait.
Okay.
I don't think.
Yeah.
So, and you can't tell somebody they should have carpets.
Okay, right.
So well, egg boxes.
There's the rules. Okay, let's move on to Richard. I had to go to the opticians to get a different prescription for my reading glasses as things were taking a rather blurry turn for the worse. I'd been very happy with the frames I'd chosen last time and was dismayed to discover that they were no longer available. And if I were to keep the same frames, I'd have to go a few days without glasses. So basically, I had to pick a new pair. I tried on a few pairs, none of which suited, and I was starting to feel paranoid that the assistant thought I was vain, as they were just reading glasses after all. So I just took the next pair I tried, even though they looked really quite terrible on my face. So my question is, how long is too long when picking reading glasses? When I go next, I will time it and make sure I do not exceed the correct limit. I see his worry. No one wants to be seen as vain. And if it's reading glasses, you shouldn't really care because you're only wearing them when reading. It's not like you're wearing them all the time and they're part of your face. What do you think?
It's difficult.
Did you give a rough time where you think is too long? You wasted the assistant's time by spending too long? Or should you not care and just be able just to pick the ones that look great on your face? And
yeah, but I understand it. I understand it.
You don't want to inconvenience them, do you? Yeah.
I have nearly, because it's difficult for me because my glasses are part of my face. I've worn them all the time for since I was a kid. I'm just trying to think about it. I like to take Sarah with me when I'm choosing frames because feel that if it looks like it's taking a long time to the optician, I can kind of roll my eyes and make out it's her fault for not letting me.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Because there was a point at which I had a similar thing with these glasses, but not exactly the same, where I had to get new lenses put in or something and they were away for a while. So I had two pairs of spare, one for reading and one for wearing most of the time. And it really, it became a problem for however many days or weeks that was in our marriage, me having this other pair of glasses around my neck and them looking like old man's glasses. She had a real problem with it because it made her feel like she was married to an old man.
Right.
And she is extremely picky about what glasses I'm allowed on my face.
Oh, really?
Which I both like because I trust her sense of style. And I can blame it on her to the opticians.
Yes.
So if you have a partner, you need to manipulate them into doing that so that they look like the bad guy.
Yeah.
If you don't, would you consider hiring a sex worker to go to the opticians with you?
What, to play the same role?
Yeah.
I mean, you could have moved from partner to ask a friend. You didn't have to go straight to sex worker.
But I'm just thinking, I mean, I know, I just think it might be a nice change for them.
Oh, I see, getting paid for something different.
To extend their repertoire, I don't know. Right, I'm not saying then, you know, avail yourself of their regular services if that doesn't feel right to you. I'm not saying that at all.
Right.
But I'm just saying, maybe, like all of us in our jobs, it's quite nice to be asked to say, that's an out of the ordinary thing that I could try my hand at.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. Can you hear loud music?
I can, yeah. Someone's having a little party outside the window.
Have you noticed more and more people cycle past with music playing?
No, that's that thing now.
Yeah, like, and when I spent a lot of time in New York, I would see it quite a lot there. People would cycle with a big speaker attached to the bicycle, sharing their taste in music with the world. It wasn't ever necessarily my taste in music.
Mm.
In my experience, if somebody is playing music loudly in a public place, it tends not to be the selection of the majority of people.
Right, right.
But that aside, that does seem to be a thing now. People cycling past.
Okay.
Seems to have crossed the Atlantic.
Yeah, yeah.
People cycling past with the speakers on the bicycles.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's possibly what we just heard there.
Okay, well, there
occasionally it's a roller skater.
I saw it. Yeah.
Back
to the glasses.
Did I tell you that roller skate thing? I think I did, didn't I?
What's that?
I noticed on Instagram or social media or something that a lot of people seem to have taken up roller skating in lockdown.
Okay.
And I think I've even said this on the podcast before, and I thought to myself, oh, hang on a minute, there's an idea there. We've seen celebrities dancing. We've seen celebrities ice skating. Yeah, yeah. Somebody should do celebrities on roller skates. Mm. This could be my big idea.
Style like express style.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
So I texted it to two friends of mine who don't know each other and work in completely different companies, working in TV development, saying, here's an idea. Like, why has no one done a celebrity roller skating show? And both of them straight away texted back saying, everyone's trying to crack that format at the moment. It's the holy grail. Everybody's doing it. Yeah, so the sex worker thing was it was just about that. Just
right,
like,
interesting. Okay.
Yeah, it's transactional.
Mm.
And maybe they would welcome the change.
Or
not necessarily.
You could just say to the assistant, I'm sorry, I'm very indecisive. I'm not vain, I'm very indecisive. You go and do whatever you need to do and I'll come and let you know when I've finished.
Maybe you could dress in such a way that it would be extremely apparent that you're not vain.
Yes. Because that's the worry, isn't it? Looking vain. Don't want to look vain.
You could like smear all mud on your face.
Mm-hmm.
Go in raggedy clothes.
Okay.
Clothes. What was that?
That's a bit babyish. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think we've cracked that. I think we've cracked both of them today. Okay. Pleased with all that.
Good. And that was our podcast. Thank you for listening to it. Listen, we're not messing about here. We really need stories of social interactions gone awry from you, please. The world is slowly thawing in terms of the way that we are all relating to each other. And it is your duty to go out there and do this poorly and report back to us. Email us, hello@adriftpodcast.com. Same email address. If you have a quandary corner, if you want to know the social etiquette in any given situation. Thanks to Man and the Echo for the backing music and to Emily Harrison for the incidental music. Carla Gowlett took our photos. Kim Rainey designed our artwork. And I will finish this week's episode by asking, would you like me to fill up your growler? Sorry about that, everybody. Oh, yeah. Podication time. This comes from Nancy. Her name was McGill, but she called herself Lil. But everyone knew her as Nancy.
What's that from?
It's Rocky Raccoon.
Is it?
Yeah. I would love, says Nancy, a podication for my friend Birdie.
That's a good name, isn't it?
Great.
And Nancy, but yeah, like, yeah,
Birdie. Both great. Although she was a friend of a friend, I didn't really know Birdie until she offered to spend a day hiking with me, as it's something I wanted to get back into since having my baby, and I don't know anyone willing to go with me. It made sense for us to travel together to the mountains, and she offered to drive. I was not really looking forward to having to make small talk for the 2-hour journey with someone I don't know so well. I get travel sick in cars and find small talk very stressful. I had to sit in the back with a mask on due to COVID rules, and to my delight, instead of small talking, she immediately asked if I'd mind if she put a podcast on for the drive. She said, "It's called Adrift, and we spent 2 blissful hours listening to your podcast and not really talking. I've been listening ever since, and it's made lockdown a lot more bearable. I'm slowly working my way through all the back episodes, as well as listening to a new episode every week. It turns out that Birdie is a super lovely woman who is kind and accepting, and I will always remember that drive with her." I feel that is the perfect... If I had to say, ideal world, how would you like someone to discover this podcast? Like, what environment would it be most suited to being discovered? It couldn't be better.
It's lovely, isn't it? Yeah.
Just like wonderful. Birdie.
Good old Birdie.
Do you know who I miss? Piggy Stew and Timmy Tiptoes.
Oh, scary there, yeah. Right? So scary.
I don't know why Birdie, hello. Hello, Birdie. Well, this makes me very happy in any number of ways. So I'm glad that happened. I'm really glad to have Nancy listening. Really like the thought of these drifters at high altitudes.
Yes.
I'm imagining Nordic walking poles.
Me too.
And Birdie sounds great. Especially the accepting stuff. Just wish more people would be accepting.
Yeah.
I know I didn't sound very accepting of conspiracy theorists earlier on.
Yeah. No.
But I'm largely accepting.
Largely, yeah. Me too.
So, there we go. I don't have anything to add other than that. I think I've added plenty.
There we go then.
If you would like a podication, email us hello@adriftpodcast.com. And Nancy and Birdie, happy hiking.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.